I'm just an educating. I do think that Muhammad divided the world into two houses. There's the House of Islam and the House of War. So the whole non-Muslim world is identified as the House of War. Now, the word Islam means submission. And a Muslim is somebody who has submitted. And a moderate Muslim thinks the world will submit to Allah in the distant future, or maybe figuratively. And the violent Muslim thinks the world will submit to Allah now, and they want to help make it happen. But the dilemma that we're facing is that when the moderate Muslim sees us have our first Muslim congressman swearing upon a Quran, and just this year started the first Muslim prayer meeting in our U.S. Capitol bowing to Mecca, when the moderate Muslim sees Nancy Pelosi, our Speaker of the House, going over and submitting to Sharia law and putting the veil, the hijab, when she went to Syria, when the moderate Muslim sees that the president, and I'm not sure if he's getting the right advice, but he's the first president to mention the Quran in an inaugural address, first president to take off his shoes and visit a mosque, first president to celebrate Ramadan in the White House, first president to issue an Islamic postage stamp, first president to have a Muslim be the U.S. ambassador to the U.N. When the moderate Muslim sees this, I think, well, gee, maybe the world's going to submit to Allah, not in the distant future. Maybe it's happening right before our eyes. Maybe it's not figurative. Maybe it's literal. And it's causing a lot of enthusiasm that some of them are spilling over into the camp that says it's going to happen now. And that's the ones that gives birth to the violence ones. And so it's sort of like in Western civilization for centuries, they took the verses out of the Old Testament where Israel would be regathered together again. They thought, oh, that's just figurative, or maybe in the last days. And lo and behold, in 1948, it happened. So there's a lot of enthusiasm that, gee, you know. Well, that's the enthusiasm that's being experienced within the moderate circles, that we thought that the world would submit to Allah in the distant future, maybe figuratively. Now it's beginning to happen before their eyes. And unfortunately, that's beginning to cause some in the moderate camp to move over into the let's make it happen now camp, which is where the violent ones come from. So we're faced with a dilemma here.
And you've mentioned Allah, and it reminded me of a kind of a debate I hear. Some people say, well, Allah is the same as the God of the Jews and the God of the Christians, and some people say, no, it's a completely different concept. And that's kind of relevant to know what you're talking about. So what's your opinion about that?
Well, we considered a pretty mild religious statement to say we're all children of God. In Islam, that's blasphemy. Allah took no wife and has no son. He has no children. We consider it pretty mild statement to say, oh, well, God's the father of us all. That's blasphemy in Islam. He is not the father of us all. We consider it a pretty mild statement like Harry S. Truman in his inaugural. He says, we believe all men are created equal because we're created in the image of God. That's blasphemy in Islam. Allah has no image. We consider it a pretty, you know, normal encouragement to say, well, you should have a personal relationship with God. That's blasphemy in Islam. You're not supposed to have a personal relationship. He's transcendent. You don't say extemporaneous prayers from your heart whenever you want. You recite prayers, and you recite them the five times a day. And so it is a different concept. You know, I draw the little distinctions. Jesus never killed anybody. Muhammad killed lots of people. He cut off the heads of 700 Jews in Medina, and it's estimated at killing over 3,000 people. Now you talk to a Muslim about it, and they say, well, you know, David killed people, and he was still a prophet. Yeah, but Jesus didn't kill anybody. Muhammad did. Jesus never owned slaves. Muhammad had lots of slaves, even African slaves, because he was Arab. Jesus never married. Muhammad had 15 wives, plus the women he took in battle. Jesus never forced anybody to believe in him. There was one place where he said something difficult, and it says, many disciples walked with him no more. And Jesus turned to Peter, said, you guys can go too. And Peter said, well, who else can we go to? You're the ones with the words, you know. And but Muhammad said in the Hadith that whoever changes his Islamic religion, kill him. So then Jesus didn't force anybody to believe. Muhammad did. The apostles never led armies. Every one of the caliphs led armies. A caliph is the supreme military and religious leader in Islam. People forget Jesus was a religious leader, Muhammad was a religious leader, and a military leader. So if we, you know, that little saying, what would Jesus do? You know, would he probably, he's nonviolent, he never took up arms. What would Muhammad do? He did take up the sword. So none of the apostles led armies. Every one of the caliphs did. Caliph Abu Bakr, Caliph Umar, Caliph Uthman. And the first three centuries of Christianity, there were 10 major persecutions. Christians were thrown to the lions. They never once led an armed resistance. The first 300 years of Islam, they conquered Arabia, North Africa, Persia, the Holy Land, Spain, southern France. They were at the gates of Constantinople. And so we see that it's more or less a religion from the outside in, whereas the Judeo-Christian idea is it's more from the inside out.